Good afternoon. You are listening to KMXD 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. I am your host today, Dylan Samard, and joining me from Hospice and Palliative Care of Kodiak are Kate Paulson, the Executive Director, and Sarah Davidson, the Clinical Director. How are the two of you doing?
Doing just fine.
We are doing well. Thanks.
Yeah, enjoying the rain a little bit, trying to.
I've missed it, frankly.
Yeah.
It's good to have it back. So, today, we're here to talk about some of the different events that Hospice and Palliative Care of Kodiak is putting on that help people process grief. So, first, before we get into that, I want to ask you to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about Hospice and Palliative Care of Kodiak and what it is that you guys do.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Dylan. My name is Kate. I've been the executive director here at Hospice and Palliative Care of Kodiak for almost a year now, and it's been a beautiful journey as I've taken over and gotten to learn the organization inside and out. So our mission is pretty simple. We join the journey of those facing life-threatening illness or loss. We meet needs, we reduce fears, and we offer comfort. So that's really the core of what we do. A lot of people don't necessarily know that we have bereavement and grief resources as well. They think of us as just hospice and palliative care, but we do so much more.
Absolutely. And I'm Sarah Davidson. I'm our clinical director here. And I've been with the organization for a few months here. I've worked with hospice and palliative care in other parts of the state for multiple years. So I'm glad to be home, and I'm excited to be working with Kate here, and we're really looking forward to sharing with you some of these programs we're getting going this year.
And just before we get started, I did want to ask and to mention, it's quite unusual for a community of this size and of this remote nature to have such a well-established system for hospice and palliative care locally, correct?
Well, you know, a lot of cities across the country have hospice, medical hospice facilities. We're unique on this island where we don't have an actual medical hospice agency. So we're a volunteer-run, nonprofit hospice organization. And there's quite a few around the state that serve some of the smaller communities. And what's really special is we're primarily community funded. We get all of our funding from community members and grantors and small grants here and there, and just really generous donors that allow us to keep our services free no matter what. So we don't bill Medicaid. What we do is always free.
Yeah. So just to clarify and to jump on what Kate is saying as well. So generally people think of hospice, they think of Medicare hospices, and that's when your Medicare benefits will pay for that. You know, you've got specific requirements to fall into that category. We're a volunteer hospice. And so that means, yeah, like Kate said, all of our services are free, and we have a wide range of things we can do because of that. So we don't have to fall in the lines of what insurance can cover and what Medicare hospices often require. So we've got a lot of flexibility.
Mm-hmm. And all that times, that means that we're serving people for much longer than just 6 months to a year. We often have clients of ours for a few years, and we're able to really form a deep connection and help them and their families navigate this journey and this season in their life.
Okay. So HPCK evidently does a lot of different things for people who are have very medically serious conditions, people who might be towards the end of their lives, and to their families. What I wanted to ask you is that when somebody dies, their friends and families still need a lot of help. It's one of the worst things that can happen to you, to lose somebody of your immediate family or a very dear friend. So can you tell me a little bit about some of these programs that you have coming up that are for people who are grieving?
Yeah, definitely. When I took over as executive director last fall, it was one of the main things I wanted to focus on was getting our bereavement and grief resources up and running. COVID threw a big wrench into meeting in person to facilitate those grief groups. And in the past, we've had volunteers that have taken it to their heart to lead grief groups, and they've since moved off the island. So we saw this huge need. Obviously, the community is grieving in the wake of COVID. So many loved ones have gone, and we're just beginning to process that. So Sarah and I both made it our number one priority to get our bereavement program up and running. Sarah has a lot of experience with grief counseling, so we worked really hard this summer to develop a bereavement series of sorts. and we're launching it. It starts next month in September. We have a lot of information on our website, and we hope to delve into a few more of the specific programs that we're doing.
So is there a particular program that you'd like to start off with? I know that there are no less than three different big ones that we've received PSAs for two of them that we've been reading a little bit about here at KMXT.
Yeah, I'll just quickly mention the three and kind of our idea with it. We're having an in-person grief group, which is great if you're at that point in your grief journey that you want to talk and really do the work to make big moves through that journey. But we also realize that people are grieving in lots of different ways, and they might not be ready to sit in a group and really hash that out. So we've created some wellness and movement classes, as well as an art therapy class, and we hope to expand these. We have some really talented volunteers that are leading the yoga class and the art therapy class. And as community members and volunteers know, that we're hoping to increase our wellness and therapies. We hope to get more qualified volunteers to add to our bereavement services. So we have a yoga for the grieving body that launches September as well. And then in October, we're hosting an altar making workshop. It's a 2-day workshop led by artist Bonnie Dillard, where you can create a piece to honor someone who's passed.
So I guess,
I can jump in a little bit if you'd like.
Please.
Yeah, so like Kate said, we've got these three great programs starting up this fall. And just to give you a little bit of specifics, our first week of September, we're going to have a grief group going Wednesday evenings. And it's 2 hours for 2 hours and Wednesday evenings for 8 weeks. And people can come in that first week, and then even that second week, people can to show up and see what we're about. And then after that, we're going to kind of have a closed group. So it's going to be a private time for the people who are joining us on that journey for that 8 weeks. And we're doing what's called the Grief Recovery Method. It's a specific curriculum that's put out there by the Grief Recovery Institute. And I've been trained in that now for a couple of years. So I'm a big fan of it. I think it gives us really applicable tools in our life to process our grief, and then also to apply it to other areas of our life, because grief is more than just the loss of a loved one by death. We also experience grief from, you know, divorce, moving, loss of a job, even retirement. There's so many ways that we experience grief, and many of the tools we learn in this group apply to all of those areas. And then, you know, we're talking about our bereavement series this fall. You know, for people, we'll have continuing services as we go. So in the spring, say for example, you're not ready for this sort of group, or you're not feeling like you'd want to do yoga or even the altar workshop. Look out in the spring. We're going to keep having different programs coming out there. Like Kate said, this is something we want to see Kodiak, you know, utilize more.
Mm-hmm. Really
embrace.
Because we've needed
it. Yeah. Yeah.
Before we start slicing into this apple and looking all the different pieces into the different programs that you guys are offering, I first wanted to ask, this is not something you do on a yearly basis. This comes back every few years or so, correct?
Well, it hasn't been done in a while. So previously, hospice and palliative care, the extent of our bereavement services was mainly focused on past client family members. We would send, and we still do this, we send mailings for 13 months that help them kind of navigate that grief journey. And of course, staff and volunteers will still check in with past family members, but it's part of our mission. We're joining the journey of those with life-limiting illness, and also joining the journey of those walking the road of bereavement. So Sarah and I it was on our hearts that we needed to get this up and running. Just knowing that there's so many different types of loss and death in the community, whether it's child loss, suicide, overdose, all kinds of ways that we grieve, and we want HPCK to be known as a grief resource.
So let's get into yoga for the grieving body. Yoga is very interesting. It has all sorts of different properties that are very wonderful for people, but I just wanted to ask if you could explain a little bit the benefits that would apply for somebody who is grieving.
Certainly. Yeah, and we'll just go into a little bit briefly. So Veronica Costa-Bolton is going to be our wonderful yoga instructor for this grieving for the yoga body. and she would be the best to kind of describe things, but I'll just briefly say, you know, if you think, for instance, trauma and grief, you know, they're different, but when we think of trauma, often our bodies hold a response to that trauma physically. We have physical symptoms. Similarly with grief, you know, while they're different, we do hold grief in our bodies. We have a physical response, and we often are not either ready to verbally process, or maybe we're just not verbal processors, but our body is responding. And that the yoga for the grieving body is this opportunity to really connect physically. Veronica describes it so beautifully in how you know, she has certain movements for every single person, doesn't matter your abilities. She meets you where you're at to help you to kind of get in touch with that inner grief without having to really talk about it, because sometimes we just don't have words, and it helps to be able to physically find relief.
So let's talk about your other program that does involve words. There is going to be a group, I understand, that's going to be meeting together and discussing their grief. Can you tell me a little bit about what that's like for somebody to participate in that, and what that sort of entails?
Definitely. Our group is definitely a lot more involved. This fall, our group recovery method it's very action-based, and so we take, you know, we have a book we go through, but we also are working together to really focus on the loss you've experienced, what that has done to you emotionally, spiritually, whatever it might be. And without going into, you know, all the specifics of the group, we really build a relationship with each other, and we learn these tools. And as we go through and process not only the loss we've maybe come to this group for, we also start to process just the losses we've experienced in our life in general, due to these tools that we're learning. So yeah, it looks like, you know, you coming in and meeting all of us, learning what the grief recovery method is about, deciding if this is what you think will work for you, and we work with that. And if you come and you realize, you know, this is just too much, I'm not ready to dig into my grief this much, we have other options for you. We have so many resources, but this grief recovery method in particular, we don't just talk about our feelings necessarily, not that that's, it's super important that we do, but we really apply some practical ways of processing our grief. So a bit vague. If you have a specific question, I can ask you, but it's a great program.
Yeah. It's, I guess what I might ask you is, between these three programs, and I know I haven't asked yet about the art program, and I will, but between these three programs, where do you sort of see those fitting into different people's, like, grief journey? Do you think that, like, some people are going to be like, I don't want to talk about this yet, but I'm happy to do yoga? Are there going to be other people who are like, I'm going to have to talk about this before I can do yoga? Are there other people who are like, I'm just here for the art? What sort of the, do you have any sort of expectation about, are you going to be getting people at different stages of grief, or is it going to be a mix of different people with very different needs?
That's a great question. We get a mix of people. You know, grief is not linear. Grief is all over the place. You know, it goes ups and downs. There's lots of different ways we describe it. So, you know, you may be a verbal processor, or maybe you've lost somebody a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, and all of a sudden you're like, I think I'm actually ready to process this loss. Come to us, you know, or maybe it's been a month. What we do is, anybody who's interested in any of our grief programs, they give us a call and we go through kind of an intake process. And that's just a conversation with me. I ask you a couple of questions. I do want to know, you know, why you're reaching out for services and understand a bit more about your loss. You don't have to tell me all the details if you feel like that's not necessary and you just aren't ready to. But I just want to understand where you're at, because we're all about meeting you where you're at, figuring out what you need. And if you want to do that verbally, some people want to talk about everything. Some people want to just have a conversation with one person, you know, and if we can just have a phone conversation or meet in town, maybe get some coffee or something, and that feels comfortable, we'll make it work. otherwise, if you just want to say, I lost a loved one, I'm having a really difficult time, but I like yoga. Okay, let's do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, no matter where you're at in your grief journey, we'll meet you. And if maybe you're not ready for this grief recovery method or even the altar making workshop or the yoga class, but you just need a lending ear, that's why we're here. There's a lot of different resources and books we have in our office that can help guide you. So we really encourage anyone on their grief journey to reach out to us if you do need something.
So I guess now let's look at the art program. Can you tell me a little bit about how that helps people process things and a little bit about what these altars kind of look like?
Yeah, definitely. I want to say that this whole bereavement series that we're launching is really the root of really passionate volunteers that we have. And one of our volunteers is Bonnie Dillard. And if you know me or my background, I have a strong passion for the visual arts, too. So when I took this job, she's like, Kate, why are you doing this? Why aren't you making art? I'm like, we can make art and help people grieving. And we just really connected on that. And there's so many ways, as we've been saying, that people grieve. Me personally, whenever I grieved or wanted to work through some big life change, I was making things with my hands. And it's just another outlet. And Bonnie is such a wonderful artist, and she's also walked along a very long grief journey and has a lot of experience navigating the ups and downs of grief. So together we came up with this altar making workshop, and basically you collect mementos, photos, little letters, maybe a loved one's pair of glasses or a little thing they made, bring them all to the workshop, and over a two-day weekend we create this piece of art or a sculpture or a shadow box to honor that loved one that you can display in your home. And every time you look at them, you are reminded of the great things, because we want the community to start to think of death as a natural part of life. And yes, it's really hard and sad, but we need to celebrate this person. Their memory still lives on. So by creating this this piece to honor your loved one, you keep their memory alive.
I'm going to ask you some bigger questions now that are a bit more open.
Okay.
Namely, if somebody that you know has gone through the loss of a loved one or a family member, what is it that they need?
It's definitely different for everybody. You know, we can't put that one person needs the same thing as another person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the things Kate and I always say is definitely meeting people where they're at and figuring out what it is they feel like they need. We're, you know, just discussing this recently, and Kate put it really well that, you know, it's, we don't, if we're going to recommend to somebody else, what do you do for somebody who's grieving? You know, the best thing is to really to show up, to be that person there, you know, not asking lots of questions, not asking how they can help, but just to show up, and to kind of assume some things they might need. And, you know, also respect space. If that's something people are saying, please just let me be for a bit, you know, respecting that. But more than anything, not putting more on their plate by asking what they might need. Because mm-hmm. the simplest thing of, well, what can I do for you? That's a huge question when you're grieving. It's like, I have no idea. I don't know what I need. Mm-hmm. And you asking me that makes me more stressed and worried. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. So doing that, and a broader term or a broader thing we were talking about is, you know, we experience the loss of a loved one and we have so much support right in the beginning. There's a lot going on. We've got, you know, memorials, we've got people showing up, bringing food. And then it seems like a few months down the line, everyone disappears. And then all of a sudden there's nothing. And we still have, you know, this individual grieving. We've still lost a loved one. And like we've talked about, grief is not linear. It's all over the place. And so grief comes at us in different ways at different times out of nowhere. So I would encourage those of us out there who know a friend or a loved one or a family member that's lost a loved one, reach out, you know, months down the line, a year down the line, years, you know, even years down the line. bring up that loved one. Ask them, hey, how are you doing? You know, bring up a memory of the person that was lost. Because more often than not, people want to talk about that loved one that died. You know, don't,
yeah, a lot of times they're like, oh, I don't want to make so-and-so sad by bringing this up. But really, that person is carrying that grief with them forever. And you're not going to make them sad because they're already sad about it. And they will be sad about it forever. But just hearing from a friend maybe around this loved one's birthday, hey, I'm thinking about you. I really miss John or so-and-so. It really means a lot. Bringing up the memory and the joy that that person brought you really brings a lot to that grieving person.
So what can we, as in the community in Kodiak, do for people that are in grief?
I think we would love for people to check out our website. We've really added a lot of content on there, not only explaining the different programs and resources we have, but we're keyed into a lot of different resources around the state and the country even. So first step, I would say, if you know someone in Kodiak who is grieving, is encourage them to reach out to us through, you know, check out our website and then have them reach out to us. We don't want to assume this person grieving is ready for us to call them right away. We really want them to come to us. Everyone's at a different point on their journey. And get them cued in. We have resources for people who have gone through miscarriages or stillbirths. We have an array of books covering all different types of loss. We're a good resource.
And I would just say talk to each other. I think, you know, as a community, we've all definitely experienced loss these last couple of years. It really feels like more loss than we've experienced in a while. Maybe that's just me, but I know we've talked about that. And, you know, we're all feeling it in one way or another. And I would just say talk to each other, you know, let people know, like, hey, I'm feeling this too, because there's nothing more powerful than having your grief witnessed and having another person say, I'm feeling this too, you know, because grief can be super isolating. And we already live on this island, you know, and we're a wonderful community. We support each other, you know, and another way that we can just continue to support each other is to talk about it, to talk about it with each other, talk about it with who you feel comfortable with. And you know, and when you feel ready that you want more support, like Kate said, reach out and we'll figure stuff out.
And feel free to come to us if you're struggling facilitating those conversations with a friend. Talking about grief is challenging, and you don't want to say the wrong thing to a friend. And a lot of the times that might hinder a conversation from happening. So if you want some tips on how to approach talking about the death of your friend's parent or something like that, please come to us. We'd love to give you some pointers. Don't ever say, well, at least he lived a good life, or at least you still have your mom, or, you know, there's a lot of no-nos. And we would love to help empower those conversations happening around town.
I want to ask you as well, what's it like for you two to put on these events? Is it I know you mentioned that you have these really passionate volunteers who are just happy to jump right in.
Yeah, I would say this is a passion project for Sarah and I as well. Sarah comes with a lot of experience in this field, and I have been on my own grief journey in many ways, and saw among my peer groups sort of the challenges that I experienced, or I didn't necessarily feel supported. And I want to make sure that we do start to support the community in those ways.
Yeah. And, you know, it can be a lot for us putting these things on, because we are, you know, we're opening a door for a lot of stories, a lot of loss to come out into the open. And it can be a little scary for some people. You know, and I've done this for a little while, and it can be heavy for me sometimes, you know, and I have to make sure that I have my own support as well. But, It never scares me away from wanting to do these things for communities, because I've seen the benefit. I've seen the benefit that there is in going through these programs and to work through the grief you're experiencing. And it's really why I keep wanting to move forward and to offer these programs. And, you know, I was in Anchorage doing this. I was in other cities. And so to be able to bring this home here and to offer this and to believe in what I've seen, mm-hmm. Is what keeps me going and wanting to do this.
And I will say that our organization is a life-affirming organization. When Sarah and I tell people that we work in the hospice field, they're like, oh, it must be so sad. And while there is really challenging moments to it, it is the most beautiful work I've done, and it is inspiring and empowering every single day. And we have a great group of volunteers, and coming to us, we will help you, and we will lift you up any way we can. Also, if you are interested in volunteering, if bereavement support is something on your heart, we will be starting to slowly train bereavement volunteers. We also have direct care volunteers that are providing that hospice and palliative care as well. So there's lots of ways to get involved and help out with HPCK.
What has the community response been like to hear that these events are coming back?
We've had lots of different responses. I think people are like, oh my goodness, this is so great. I've been looking for grief support for people, and there's just not been anything. And we've had COVID the last couple of years, and so that's also just put a hold on so much. And we're not the only ones that are getting out there and doing this. You know, we have our grief program. We've had some other community members as well who have some grief support going on, at least one that we know for sure at the Salvation Army, which we have our information about online. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's just we see that there's been a need, and we want to get this going. And I think everyone else in the community that we have talked to, at least so far, is like, oh my goodness, finally. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's just been a while, and we really want to keep that going. So it's been positive for the most part so far, I think.
Yeah, I think our goal is we are happy to put it out there because it is so needed. And obviously Sarah and volunteers and I have been working very hard this summer to get it up and running. So if it's not a huge success, if we're not packed in every single one of our classes, that's okay. We're getting the word out there slowly, and we will continue to offer these classes season after season. I will say that the class sizes are small, around 12, I believe, for all of them. So I anticipate that they will fill up quickly. And if you are interested, you can register for each one on our website, which is hpck.org, or you can give us a call at the office. That's 907-512-0600.
And I do have the PSAs here. The Grief Recovery Method program is every Wednesday from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. starting September 7th in the multipurpose room at the Kodiak Public Library. And the Yoga for the Grieving Body running every Saturday from 4 to 5.
Sunday.
Every Sunday, excuse me. No, that's what it says. I misread it. Okay. Running every Sunday from 4 to 5:30 p.m. starting September 11th of 2022 at the 100th Monkey Studios. Mm-hmm. You caught me. And I believe you're still...
So the altar making workshop will be October 14th and 15th. Bonnie, as I'm sure many know, is very busy painting an awesome street mural. So we are hammering out the timing, and we have a location secured, but we will let registrants know as those details come in.
We're down to our final minutes here. Can you give us any preview of what sort of events you might be running in the spring, or is it too early to tell?
Well, at least briefly, you know, we'll always have like a sit-down grief group sort of thing. In the spring, we will be going, it'll be more kind of a book club sort of setting. We'll be going through Bearing the Unbearable. So if you want to get a head start and know what that's about, it's just it's a book out there, and we'll be going through that with a group. So that'll be a 6-week program. We don't have dates yet, but we'll get those out soon.
We're down to our last minute here. Is there any intention to bring any of these programs or just a curriculum of programs more generally to a year-round state?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Absolutely.
If we have the volunteer capabilities, absolutely. I've been talking with other people that do art therapy. We would love to host, you know, weekend workshops covering a gamut of topics like dementia or child loss, stuff like that. So we have lots and lots of goals. We're trying to get our feet on the ground, get through one season, see how it goes, but absolutely offering year-round support.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. This has been another episode of KMXT 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. I've been your host today, Dylan Simard, and joining me from Hospice and Palliative Care of Kodiak were Kate Paulson, the Executive Director, and Sarah Davidson, the Clinical Director. Thank you both so much for your time.
Thank you, Dylan. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.